Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes, it's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode, a girl believes her mother's religious abilities may actually be for something dark. A meticulous bar owner is keeping tabs on the management of the bar, only the bar owner is dead. A listener believes the residents of a cemetery were trying to teach him a lesson one night when he was a boy. And could a couple's song be the way they let their loved ones know that they're still here? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Great.
Good.
I'm ready for some of these stories. This looks interesting. I'm always interested in the song ones where the timing of how it works, especially if it's like a song on the radio or something. Is it like something being, you know, because there's multiple people at play there.
Yeah.
Things like that get scheduled out days, weeks in advance, but it's kind of one of those things where you're like, well, maybe it happened for a reason.
I think you'll see once we read the story that it's a little bit more than that.
Okay. All right. I'm excited to hear that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the show, tell a friend about it. Press the share button on the show. Write something about it on Facebook, Twitter, and let people know that we exist. That's what helps grow our show. And thank you in advance for doing just that. I'll kick the show off today with a letter that came into us. And our first letter today comes into us from Crystal. And Crystal writes in, "Hello, I've submitted a story, one called The Gold Mirror, before, but I have another bizarre story I'd like to share. I used to live in a place that had a lot of weird encounters, the same place my previous story was witnessed. So at this time in my life, my mom was at her worst, I would say. She started drinking a lot more heavily and began talking to herself in a sinister voice. She's also a heavy smoker. She used to always talk to herself, but not so frequently. Around this time, my mother had confessed to me that she could speak in tongues, as in the language of the Lord, but I never believed her because she would never prove it to me. She said the only time she can is when she is speaking to him. Then one day, my longtime friend came over. We'll call her Hannah for anonymity. So Hannah had become a devout Christian in the last few years, so when I told her about my mom, she wanted to hear it. So we walked up to my mom, who we found in the backyard, and she was sitting down drinking a beer. I told her that Hannah wanted to hear her speak tongues. My mom was kind of mad at me because she didn't want anyone to know. I said, but why would you want to hide something so amazing like the language of God? Then she said fine, caving into my request, and she closed her eyes. It was fast, and it sounded like the slithering of a snake, but also crisp. It was something so strange that I felt like I barely could process it, but I have to tell you, at the same time, I didn't feel like it was a holy thing. It felt dark, and I can't explain it. My mom has had other moments where sometimes you would look at her during conversation, and she's just seeing right through you with an empty look in her eyes. Also, there was a line she would always repeat when we were younger, especially when she was drunk. It was, "I know what you did upstairs." We'd ask her over and over what she was talking about, but she'd just reply with, "Oh, you know." It was frustrating every time. For a while, my siblings and I could swear my mom was mentally ill. After moving from the place, she seemed more centered, though. But a lot of health issues. She has since moved again, and some old habits seem to be creeping in. I really feel there was something off. I have some friends with mental illness of all kinds, but none react in that manner. I feel the events that happened in that house were the cause. I have another story involving my mom and a dice game I played with some friends that added more to the chill factor. I'll share it with you when I can. I don't know if her claim of speaking in tongues was real or not, but it definitely would not be something I'd want to hear often. Sorry about the story being a bit scattered. I want to thank you for reading my story. I've just begun listening to your podcast the last few weeks, and I am obsessed. I feel connected to a whole new community. And for that, I'm grateful.
We've had several other stories where parents were dabbling into other things, and it affected the entire family in a negative way. And, you know, it doesn't sound like she was into a lot of good things. I know speaking in tongues is not associated usually with something bad. But it sounds like some of the other behaviors and the other things, maybe she was not doing this in the right manner.
Okay.
Maybe trying to do something more on the dark side.
I could see that. I could see it kind of being a combination of a lot of things there, like with mental illness being in the picture, and everything else that was described there, you know, within the story. And it's kind of what we've talked about so often, where these things seem to attach or be a little, you know, be fruitful, if you will, with what they're able to take over and what they're able to do and get out of people when they're not in the best of states. So I could see it being a bit of everything there.
Yeah.
Would you agree on that?
I agree. Especially since in the previous story, there was some activity going on in the home. There was a gold mirror that tended to move on its own around the room.
Okay.
And so there's definitely already some paranormal going on.
Sure. Yeah. And that's just adds fuel to the fire, essentially. So thank you for that story. Thank you for writing in. Our phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. Kim writes in November of 2012, a very close friend of mine passed away shortly after her diagnosis of cancer. Kathy and her husband, Jim, operated a bar and grill in a small town in Wisconsin, and her kind heart was loved by many. This bar was her baby, and she ran every aspect of it with a microscope to not waste a dime and please every customer who entered. Kathy was very orderly as bartenders. We laughed with her and her sticky note posts with reminders. She knew her time was ending soon and asked a young man who she considered an extra son if he would be interested in purchasing the bar. He did buy the bar, although he had a full-time job elsewhere. He continues to juggle both quite successfully. We believe Kathy has her arm around him in support and guidance. As I mentioned, I had worked for Kathy previously, so I resigned from my position to help him establish ownership and manage operations for him. In early of January 2013, I was alone in the bar and had been carrying up armloads of liquor from the cutout stone basement. Although Kathy operated this bar for 30 years, the building itself is surely 80 to 100 years old, once being the local butcher shop. I was tired of climbing the old wooden steps and decided to rest at the bar for a moment. I made an error and left the basement door propped open with a wooden wedge and the light on. To my startle, the wedge flew from the door about 5 feet and it closed. I got up to investigate and noticed the light was now off also. I said out loud, "Okay, Kathy, I get it. Turn the light off and don't heat the basement." There were other Kathy-isms that happened, but nothing to ever frighten. TVs turned off and on. Decorations that should have been put in the basement fell from a secured shelf. I just thought Kathy didn't want them in the storeroom. Just take them to the basement. The new owner wanted peanuts in the shell on the bar at all times. And I was setting out pails of peanuts one day and placed an extra one on the felt pool table for a moment, only to return for it and find it sitting on a table nearby. "Kathy, I get it. Don't place things in the pool table and ruin the felt." She had her quirks, but they only made me laugh and miss her more. I have moved on from helping out and returned to my former place of employment. Seems Kathy is either resting now, as she deserves, or another thought that we have had since there hasn't been any reminders from her is that all the bartenders have now changed and she just doesn't know them. She would have to explain how she wants it done, and I don't think ghosts are supplied with sticky notes. With myself and the rest, subtle hints were all that we needed to smile and do things the right way.
I think if you're that attached to a business, or, you know, if you either owned it or managed it, and it was a labor of love, I could see you definitely being attached to it in death, too.
Sure. I mean, that makes total sense. And that's a good... My other thought was, well, maybe they all just have conformed to the way that she wants things done, so she doesn't necessarily have to be constantly showing herself. But it makes more sense if the bartenders have all turned over. And
sure.
How are you going to get these... Now it's just like, well, why did this move over here? It makes you wonder sometimes when you get stories about, you know, things that are being moved or this or that. But is it not just something as simple as like a Kathy here,
mm-hmm.
where, well, they just want something done the right way, and no one's even remotely getting the message. They're just getting the message of, how did this object move on its own?
Mm-hmm.
And it's more so, you know, unless you're the one who was with that person in their life, you would never understand exactly what it is they're trying to say or do.
Yeah.
Might just be simpler messages than we're trying to get out of things a lot of times. Like, maybe it is just... Do it this way.
You just had to know the person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's where the disconnect comes in. And then it gets really spooky when it really sometimes just doesn't need to be. Interesting story. Thank you for writing that in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to share your real ghost story with us. Sam writes in, "Dear Tony, I've just started listening to your podcast and it's very entertaining and makes my workday a breeze. My only experience of the paranormal is quite remarkable. When I was a kid in Mexico City, I used to go to something very similar to Boy Scouts, except it was much rougher. It had military-style discipline, and punishments given for misbehaving would be considered quite cruel by today's standards. You go to these Boy Scouts until you're about 13, and then you can come back as mentor to help out in kind of a junior camp counselor sort of role. We used to go camping to a place that was across the road to a cemetery. And kids that really misbehaved on the bus ride there would be made to go to the cemetery, to the center mausoleum, and recover a bandana. As it was my first year going back as a junior counselor, they gave me the awful job of scaring the crap out of these kids. Among them was my very young cousin who was being disciplined for throwing trash on the highway. So they gave me a mask, which I turned inside out to make it look scarier, and behind the center mausoleum for the kids to come retrieve the bandana. As it is nighttime, the kids and myself have to hop over a fence to be able to enter the cemetery. I can hear my cousin, since he's smaller, having a very rough time getting over the fence as I am crouching ready to scare them. As I hear them approach and I jumped and scream, making the kids flee for their life. As the kids run terrified and jump the fence, I laugh my ass off, but hear desperate cries from my cousin who was stuck inside the cemetery. As I'm just waiting for someone to come back for him so that I can leave as well, I suddenly see a shadow from the corner of my eye and I freeze up. When I summon up the courage to turn, I see that it's only my own shadow moving. Moving. As I turn to see what was the light source, I turn the opposite side to see a 4-foot green flame shooting upwards from one of the lanterns to a grave next to me. As I'm seeing this flame shoot out, going long and short, I'm suddenly surrounded as well by little green flaming orbs all around me. My first instinct is to run, but my cousin is still trapped by the wall, and the last thing I want to do is scare him more by suddenly seeing me rushing towards him while he's trapped. I wait there, just clutching my fists and waiting for it to be over. As soon as I hear one kid come back and help my cousin jump up the wall, I slowly start to make my way out. I could hear the flame whooshing behind me, and the little green lights rushing past me. I get back to camp, white as a sheet. All the other counselors ask me what's wrong, and I tell them the story, and one of them tells me that the cemeteries are known to cause these light shadows due to the methane emissions. That's the scientific explanation to my experience. But deep down, I feel I really pissed off the residents. They wanted to teach me a lesson. I've gone back to the camp, but never set foot back in the cemetery. I will not go where I am not welcome.
Have you ever heard of a phenomenon called Will of the Wisp?
Will of the Wisp?
Will of the Wisp.
Like W-I-S-P?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
It's exactly what he touched on there. Methane releasing into kind of darker areas.
Okay.
And sometimes it gives off a green light, a green glow.
Okay.
And usually it disperses before it gets much taller than what an average person's height would be. So it looks very, very ghostly.
Sure.
And it's known to happen around marshes and graveyards and things. So that's one definite possible explanation for this.
Okay.
But the shadow moving around is a different story.
Would the shadow moving just have been like the shadow, you know, like if I was standing behind you with a flashlight, you would see your shadow
mm-hmm.
over here. But if I moved the light around, your shadow would also move.
Yeah, but there's no light.
That's true.
And it sounds like it presented itself as just his shadow, and mm-hmm. then it kind of did its own thing, which to me makes it even creepier than just seeing a shadow person.
Sure. So, I mean, it may not even have been his shadow. He just may have interpreted it as, oh, that's my shadow right there. You know?
It sounded like it was doing like the Peter Pan thing where Peter Pan's shadow gets away.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like him, but it's doing other things.
Will of the Wisp.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
There's other names for that phenomena, too.
Wonder if anyone has any YouTube videos of it.
Ooh, that would be cool.
You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's like a semi-common thing, I wonder if you could capture such a thing. So it's a methane release mm-hmm. into the air. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I could see, you know, I mean, it would be very freaky. I mean, you would very certainly in that setting think it was something paranormal.
Sure.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. Thank you for that letter. And I, you know, it throws a possible explanation out there.
Mm-hmm.
But as with all of our stories, you just never really know.
No, I think there was something paranormal going on. I just like to throw things out there like that.
Sure.
Where people can think, well, maybe it's this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And rule that out first.
Very, very interesting. Thank you. Thanks for looking that up.
Sure.
And finding that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. George writes in, before I tell my story, I want to say that I'm Polish and my English is not very good. My story took place in Poland. I never believed in ghosts or paranormal, but my grandma did, and she would tell me stories. When she was walking a really narrow street and someone was walking towards her, so she moved to a side to let this person pass. She felt cold all over her body as the person got past. When she turned around, there was no one there. This still didn't make me believe, as I was very rational. But when I started spending more time at my grandparents' house, I started seeing dark figures passing by, sometimes, probably, staring at me. When noticed, they just walked away. When I told my grandma about that, she said that she knew. Unfortunately, she passed away a few years ago. One time I've seen a flash in the corner of my eye and I couldn't think of anything it could have been, as it's an apartment on the 11th floor, so it couldn't be a prank of some sort. I like to think it was my grandma taking a photo of me to have with herself wherever she is now. Hope my story's not too boring. Thank you for all of your work. Take care.
It's always a little bit scary to think, here you are a kid and you go tell your grandmother and she's like, oh yeah, I know. That's not what you want to hear her say.
And I'm wondering if in this case he looks back going, I really should have inquired more.
Mm-hmm.
Not just, okay, grandma, that's great. It's one of those like, oh, if I only took the time to find out more about what she thought about that.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And you know, is there, you know, I know, is there a connection? What is all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Did it just happen to her too? Was she somehow involved in making these things happen? You know, what, all of it?
But you know, sometimes kids are like, I don't want to hear about it. It's, you know, they know it's too scary or whatever.
Sure, sure. And you can't blame a kid for feeling that way. So mm-hmm. thank you for writing in and sharing that story. Veronica writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I first wanted to say I really love your show. I hear it most often at work, and I thoroughly enjoy listening to people's ghost stories. My story is now what you would consider a usual ghost story. It's about my cousin that had passed away over 20 years ago. He was only 19 years old and died tragically in a car crash. He left behind not only his family, but the love of his life. He was a huge fan of The Cure, and from what I can remember, his and his girlfriend's song was Just Like Heaven. My cousin would visit my aunt's house at times by flickering lights or shutting down the power in the house, except in whatever room we were in at the moment. Something inside me always knew it was him just stopping by. But 6 or 7 years after his passing, my aunt and uncle moved into a new home. A cousin's belongings were put in a room dedicated in his memory, but was always locked. One night, we had a family gathering for Christmas, and out of nowhere, from that room, just like heaven, started playing so loudly, and my uncle ran upstairs only to find that the music turned off on its own, and the stereo in there was unplugged. It was my cousin, probably saying hello to his girlfriend with their song. My cousin's girlfriend always kept him in her heart and never stopped loving him. I always felt like what they had was a true, soulful, loving connection that not even death could tear apart. Unfortunately, she fell ill for many years and tragically passed away on my birthday about 5 years ago. I failed to mention this earlier, but when my cousin was alive, he and his girlfriend adopted a cat, which my grandmother kept for nearly 20 years after my cousin's death. About a month after my cousin's girlfriend passed away, the cat passed away too. Fast forward to about a year ago, I met my current boyfriend, and on our first date, the car next to us was playing loudly, just like heaven. We were surprised to hear that because we met each other through our love of music, and Just Like Heaven was a song that first connected us, which made me a firm believer that this song connected my cousin and his girlfriend, connected my boyfriend and me. On many occasions, for a few months after our first date, and occasionally to this day, as soon as I turn on my car, Just Like Heaven would play on the radio. And I'd record it and send it to my boyfriend, knowing in my heart that it's my cousin and his girlfriend letting us know that they are there and that their love and happiness is always around us. I know some people may not believe in that or are skeptical, but when you know in your heart that you found who you belong with, you instantly feel it, and that is what I feel with my boyfriend. I can truly say that I've never been as happy in my life as I am today, as it's as if I feel complete.
I think it's really interesting, of course, that that song, which came out in 1987.
That long?
That long.
Wow.
Has been around, you know, and that they catch it that often because it's not probably very mainstream. So it's kind of ironic.
Yeah.
But I think the song playing in, you know, the cousin's room after he's gone and the door's locked and there's no way that that could have happened on its own without some kind of help. At first, I thought maybe it was a residual haunting, but they had moved, so it was a different house. So it makes you think something's there causing that to happen.
That would be the most, I mean, it's all weird, you know, just the fact that you keep catching this song. And of course, and it's one of those things that would stand out to you more when you hear it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a song that you necessarily frequently would hear, and I would think in most cases on the radio anymore. But that's the weirdest part is that Christmas part where it just starts playing in the room by itself and then it goes off and the stereo's unplugged. It's like, well, how? This isn't even the radio. This isn't just like a freak by chance catching of the song.
Sure.
That's the most interesting part of, I think, all of that. But then, you know, this is simultaneously being able to, or not simultaneously, but consecutively hear that song in very specific, meaningful situations is really interesting. That'd be a great letter for them to send to that band. Is the Cure still around?
I have no idea if they're still around.
I wonder if you, I mean, if, I don't know. I mean, it'd be a very interesting story that they'd probably like to hear if they're still around. I don't know. That's a cool story. Thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. Our number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to David in New Jersey. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is David, and I'm calling from New Jersey. First of all, I want to say that I love the show, and I recently became an EPP. Anyway, back in 1994... that was a really bad year for me. I was just 20 years old, and in the first 6 months of that year, I lost first my grandfather, then I lost my dad, then I lost my grandmother. But by far, the most devastating loss was that of my dad. He had been sick for a long time with heart problems and angina, and he died early one cold morning in mid-March of a heart attack in the family home in front of all of us. And I remember they took my dad to the hospital. They tried to save him, but they were unsuccessful. And that night, after we all came home, and upstairs, my mom and my twin sister were in their rooms, and they were crying and reeling from what had happened. And I was in the basement in one of the bedrooms with my then girlfriend, and we were just lying in bed, just talking about what had happened that day. And I expressed to her how angry I was at my dad for leaving us. And I remember telling her that, you know, if dad was here right now, I would really let him have it for leaving us like this. You know, how dare he do something like this? You know, I was just angry. But she just said, well, why don't you? So I did. I spoke out loud, and I said everything that I was feeling, and I got it all out. And then when I was finished, I just took a breath, and I closed my eyes, and within a couple of seconds, and I mean, I have no idea how to explain this in a logical way, but within a couple of seconds after I spoke, I heard my dad's voice, whether it was just in my ear or in my head, I heard his voice very clearly, and the very first thing that he said was, I love you, son. And I didn't feel scared or anything. For some reason, immediately it felt just as natural as any conversation you would have in real life. And then my dad started talking to me. He apologized for being sick and not always being around for me and having a drinking problem when we were growing up. But the thing that I remember, the thing that I remember the most was that he just kept saying throughout this little conversation was he kept saying, I love you, son. I love you, son, over and over again. And I know that it would be easy for anyone to say, well, this is just a case of wishful thinking. You're really upset, so you heard what you wanted to hear. But the thing that made it real to me was the way that his voice sounded. Since he was always sick and always dealing with some kind of health problem, he just didn't sound healthy in real life when he spoke. But this time, when I heard his voice, he was completely at peace. He didn't sound sick or out of breath or full of worry and stress. And when the conversation was over, I knew it was him. And I felt a complete sense of peace and calm, a feeling I had never felt before and I haven't felt since. And I have to say that in that moment, my life changed. I went from being a complete skeptic of the paranormal and anything like that to being a believer. And a little while after this experience, I told my family what had happened, and most of my family didn't believe me, but my aunt and my uncle believed me because they had a similar experience happen to them when they had lost someone. So my uncle, he sent me a book on near-death experiences, and you know, that started my big interest in reading everything that I could on the paranormal. I mean, I became like the Fox Mulder in the X-Files. I just started reading everything I could on the paranormal and ghosts and the occult and hauntings and everything like that. And anyway, after my dad died, you know, there were some strange things that happened in the family home for a while after that. Things would go missing and then turn up somewhere else. One time, I was in the house with two other people, and we were in the kitchen or something like that. And I heard a woman's voice call me from behind. And when I turned around, there was no one there. And I didn't recognize the voice, but at the same time, I didn't feel scared or anything. As a matter of fact, the tone of the voice sounded very comforting. But like I said, I didn't recognize who it was. And the same thing happened to my twin sister at a different time. She had heard a woman call her from behind, and she turned around and there was no one there. And I would say about a year after my dad died, one night my then girlfriend and I were at home with my mom and our two dogs, and we're all in the living room watching television, and the two dogs were curled up on the living room floor. And they were a male and a female dog. And the male dog was Patches. And he was a bit of a goofy dog, but he had a heart of gold and wouldn't hurt anybody. And the female dog was Squeaky. And Squeaky was extremely emotionally intelligent. And very social, too. She would never go anywhere there wasn't people. And she would always know if you were sick or, if you were upset over something, because she would come and sit with you and keep you company and not leave your side. Well, that particular night, as we were in the living room watching television, Squeaky just gets up, and without stopping or looking back, she just walks down the hallway towards my bedroom and my parents' bedroom. And for a while, none of us noticed how long she had been gone. And I finally said, "Hey, where did Squeaky go?" She hadn't returned. So we all just kind of looked at each other, and then we all got up, including Patches, and we went down the hallway to look for Squeaky. Well, we walked into my parents' bedroom, we turned on the light, and there's Squeaky sitting in the middle of the room looking up. And it was as if someone was standing right in front of her and she was paying attention to them. And as we're standing in the room, the first thing my mom says is, "Don't you smell your father's cologne?" And we all looked at each other and we agreed. And we all also agreed that there was a difference in how the air felt in the room. Like there was a heaviness in the air. Like, that feeling of when you walk into a room that someone had just been in, but they just left. Well, that's exactly how it felt at that moment, but magnify that by like 20. And so I walked over to Squeaky and I petted her, make sure she was okay. And then, we left. Squeaky followed us out. And, she never did that, never went into a room where no one was in. And that never, like I said, that never happened again. But anyway, that's one of my stories. And I will call back with another one. And I hope you guys have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing those stories with us.
I couldn't imagine that much loss all in one year like that.
It's a lot.
That is a lot. And, it's interesting that with losing three people that close, he was able to pick out who was doing what.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just kind of interesting.
Just it's kind of like the emotional...
Mm-hmm.
ESP,
mm-hmm.
if you will, to know that. What do you think about the first part of the story with the dad?
With the dad.
And him coming back, having the conversation,
mm-hmm.
hearing that. How would you walk away from that? I mean, I would think if that had happened to me, I think part of me would be going, did I really just experience that?
Mm-hmm.
Did this really just happen? And because you're going through so many emotions at that point in time, I don't see it being that far off for, the human mind to cope in that way.
Sure.
To feel like you're, being a little bit off, essentially hearing a voice.
Yeah.
Or voices when you're under, such stress and just emotional angst. But, I believe this was paranormal. I think his dad really did come back and talk to him, but I personally, if that had happened to me, I still think I'd be walking away from that going, well, I think this was my dad.
Yeah.
How would you feel if you were in that situation? Would you ever be able to walk away from that and truly feel for sure?
I think if it brought me comfort and some closure,
mm-hmm.
that I guess, and this might sound weird, but I guess it wouldn't really matter to me.
You just wouldn't really analyze it, just take it for what it is. And
yeah.
Yeah. Just let the ghost show that you call it into analyze it.
There you go.
But yeah, I mean, that'd be a great thing to have happen. I mean, it's too bad that that's not a normal thing. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, when someone dies, don't worry. They're going to come back and have one more conversation with you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it always should work, you know, no matter what.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is not the case. But thank you for calling in and sharing those stories with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to Michael in Washington. Hi, Michael.
Hi, my name's Michael. I currently live in Seattle, Washington, but I'm from Texas. I actually had a fair few amount of things happen to me and occur to me over the years. And it all really started when I was a little kid. So the first part, I grew up a really sweet child. I didn't understand the term stranger danger. I was always happy-go-lucky. I'd walk up and hug anyone and just overly happy. So I had this grandmother growing up. My mom was a single mother, a really hard worker. She went to college and 3 jobs full-time to try and provide a future for her and myself. So my grandmother ended up taking care of me primarily. And so I really came to bond with her, and she was literally the most wonderful person in the world. She would do anything and everything for family. She had a husband who was kind of a deadbeat. And her own kids directly had their own issues, but she did everything to try and keep the family strong and healthy and happy and keep us all together. She's a really big part of my life. And one year she asked me, or we went to Hawaii. I didn't really understand it at the time, but she wanted to spend time with myself and my cousin Jessica. And we went to Hawaii, and it was a great time. And she asked me after Hawaii, was there anywhere I wanted to go next? That must have been 10. I can't remember exactly anymore. And I told her I always wanted to go to Japan. Japan seemed like a really great place. She worked for American Airlines, so she said she would be happy to get us there next year for vacation. So I was pretty excited all year about the potential to go to Japan, and what I didn't realize was that she was aware that she had been diagnosed with cancer, and she was trying to get as much time as she could in with the grandkids, especially me and my cousin Jessica. I wouldn't say we were her favorites, but we did spend the most time around her. Anyways, so halfway through the year, my mother sits me down and explains to me that my grandmother is very, very sick. And I was very sheltered growing up in the South. I didn't have any real conception or concept of what it was to have a person die in your life. Animals have died, but it's always real quick and sudden. They get buried and it's done. But my grandmother... My mother thought it would be a good idea for me to spend as much time as I could with my grandmother, which is true, but I don't think she was aware of what it would be like to watch someone who you believe is the most important person in your life, as I felt about my grandmother, to watch her slowly rot away. And... it was rough. You know, I went from seeing her, this beautiful, always smiling and glowing woman, to the withering over time. And I remember her screams of pain. And it was real hard. But one day, I was at school, and my school let me know that my mother was coming to get me. So my mom picked me up, and she said, we're going to go see Grandma. They don't think she has much time left. And when we got there, it was done. My mother was a bit late. My grandmother had died earlier that day. They already got her an ambulance and drove her away. The impact of that was nothing at first. I was in extreme shock. And I didn't really say anything. I didn't cry or anything for probably a week or two. I just really went numb and emotionless. And I think at that time, a part of my brain, you know, kind of broke. And that silence soon after turned to anger and a lot of negative energy and hatred. I lost my faith during that point, and I turned to, you know, a lot of negative activity. I was a rough kid around that time. But I remember it was around that time that things started to happen to me. One of the first being seeing shadows, hearing voices. I thought I was crazy just hearing things bing bing. And at the time I had never tried to push it off as, you know, this is ghosts going on. But I remember I was playing in my room one day, and I heard someone call my name. And it was clear as day. Like, I could obviously tell that it was a woman calling my name from the living room. And instantly I'm thinking, it's my mother. I'm an only child, by the way. So I'm thinking it's my mother. I don't have any siblings. My stepfather's at work. My mother's home watching TV. So I get to my room and I ask her, did you say something? She called my name. And she said she hadn't said anything. She didn't even have a TV on at the time. She was reading a book. And, you know, my mother doesn't play silly games like that. So I asked her if she was sure, because I very clearly heard my name. And it didn't come from outside the house. It distinctly came from in the house. I remember that clear as day. And she said no. So I went back to my room, and I sat down, and it kind of dawned on me that the voice I heard was a woman's voice, but it was my grandma. I had heard her voice a couple of times after that. And at that point, I started to really try and get to understand other religions and other philosophies when it came to the dead and the afterlife. I'd lost my faith, so I started looking into, you know, religions of all sorts, as well as anything I could get regarding Damascus and Sumerian heritage and history, which is very little. There's very little known. But I started looking into things, and without getting into detail too much, I started trying to contact the other side with, you know, belief rituals. And, you know, I gave up on it real quick, because you expect, you know, when you do something for something to happen, and, you know, nothing ever happened, and I just ended up kind of just giving up on it, I guess. And, it was about 3 to 4 weeks later that things started to happen. You know, I got into this trying to make contact with my grandmother. You know, I thought that's what you could do. You know, that's what they do on shows and stuff. And I started to see shadows in my room. I would see creeping darkness, figures moving outside my windows. I would hear scratching sounds. I had this one specific book that I had, kept around, a book of the occult. And I remember one day I had put it on my dresser, and I woke up, I went to sleep, and I woke up, and the book was on the floor, and I thought maybe that I had moved the book in my sleep or something along those lines, so the next night I put the book under my bed, and when I got up to get ready for school, to go to school the next day, the book was not under my bed. It was on my desk. And, I asked my parents if they had been going into my room messing with stuff, if they had seen the shadows that I was seeing, the sounds I was hearing. And they didn't see any of that. They did say that my dogs would go nuts in the middle of the night for some time. Which, it is, starts to become really strange. And the book moving was really, got pretty terrifying. I decided to do one last experiment with the book. Keep in mind, every night, and I would see, or every day and night, I would see things on the edges of my vision all the time, and I never was able to look and pinpoint where it was. But you know that feeling when out of the corner of your eye you distinctly see a human or something, and when you look there's nothing there. That was happening to me constantly. I did one last experiment with a book, and I put the book, I had one of those like military like cases, like a bullet case. Like the steel, the metal shell canister, whatever. And I put the book in that and closed it and shut the latch and put it in my closet. I went to sleep and I woke up with the book on my desk again. At that point, I was thoroughly freaked out. Really, really scared. I didn't know what was going on. I was hearing whispers from time to time. I thought that I was losing my mind. I thought that I was going crazy. And
it cut out.
It cut out. And, I think you can kind of rationalize away some of the other movement of the book, mm-hmm. except when you lock it in an ammo can, and then it still makes its way to your desk.
Yeah, that I think classifies as paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
When things go that far, the line that stood out to me in the whole call was, "Well, I had seen them do some of these things on TV."
Yeah,
and unfortunately, that I think is where a lot of people start to go and venture into things they don't understand,
mm-hmm.
and because there's almost like a comfort to it, like, well, if they can do it on TV.
Well, and I think, too, he did it with the best intention of just trying to talk to his grandmother one more time.
Yeah.
But I think he may have inadvertently invited something else in.
Yeah. And that's, unfortunately, what happens all too often. It's not ever a direct line you're going to get to that person you're intending on contacting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that guarantee. And I do believe sometimes when people are setting out to contact grandma or whoever,
mm-hmm.
they get them,
yeah,
and they actually do make a connection, but there's no guarantee that is going to be the case every time. Sometimes you end up getting something like in this case where it probably was not grandma.
Exactly.
And that's the scary thing. You have to really weigh that. Is it worth a life of possible misery and angst with God knows what you're in, is entering into your life,
mm-hmm.
to attempt to get that conversation? Or is it things just best left where they're at And if you have more to say, you'll get your chance to do it when you get to pass too.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, that's a scary thing. And for, if you listen to our show very often, I think the answer to that's usually let it be. But that's an individual choice. So thank you for the call. Thank you for sharing that with us. We greatly appreciate that. If you like the show and you'd like it to continue on and continue to be released and stay on the air, please sign up to be an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. You get a bonus episode of the show every single week, access to all of our bonus episodes from the past, as well as exclusive video content. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click become an EPP, and help keep our show on the air. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.